Well, it's April 7th, 2024 of the Common Era, and the time is 12:17 hours Eastern Daylight Time. I'm Ward Green with you again for our study of the Crucible article. First, I want to say that I came to a critical point yesterday in my health, and I realized at that point I was no longer able, until I made this new discovery, which was a rediscovery, I was unable yesterday, and for the past, well, it really only happened yesterday, that I had arthritis pain, that I was unable to make it, I couldn't make it go away using vitamin K2, because I increased the K2 to C, and the vitamin D, I was increasing K2 and D. Normally that made it, that always makes it go away. The arthritis goes away immediately. Like within seconds, it goes away. When you take vitamin K2 plus D, something like 6 K plus D, which is like 6 times 100 micrograms of K2 in the MK7 form, at the same time as 1,000 units of D. So 6 of those, which is 6,000 units of D, and 600 micrograms of MK7. Right at the same time, taking that will make the arthritis vanish. The pain goes away for me. And that happens very many times. I know it works. And it's beneficial. It's a vitamin. It's got all kinds of good benefits. It's not just the only thing it does. But to cut to the chase, I realized yesterday that I've been not taking any calcium for many, many weeks because I had overdosed on calcium. And I finally became brave enough, because I know that calcium caused my arthritis in the first place. But that was before I took K2. So I finally realized, well, I got to try the calcium. So I supplemented with calcium. And I had already taken one supplement, I think, in the morning of yesterday, but or the day before, something. I'm not sure which now. I'd taken one coral calcium. It was 225 milligrams of calcium with 120 or something of magnesium. Should be 2 to 1, calcium to magnesium, the ratio, milligrams. Twice as many milligrams of calcium as milligrams of magnesium. So I was taking NACA coral calcium yesterday as a supplement, and it was 225 to 125 for magnesium in milligrams, 225 milligrams of calcium, 125 of magnesium. Okay, so I took a second one of those yesterday thinking, if it's not the calcium, I'm sunk. You know what I mean? It has to be the calcium, because the K2 was always working before. So as soon as I took the calcium, the pain went away immediately, but never came back. You know, it's gone now today, and I've taken another one of those today just to make sure I get my calcium. So what I might do is switch over, switching back, I think, is what I'm going to do, to regular water where I don't distill the water, and that way there's lots of calcium in the water. I can do that probably now, which probably means I had a surplus of vitamin D when I overdosed on vitamin D, or huge amount of D, and then it caused an overdose of calcium, which is called hypercalcemia. That happened back months and months and months ago. You know, and at that time, we'll talk about it again later, but I had some other, you know, I had some increase in the floaters in my eyes, you know, after I stopped taking the calcium and the vitamin D. I had this problem with the floaters increasing in my eyes. And that's not necessarily the worst of all problems, but it's not a good problem to have necessarily, unless I saw it. Every problem can be good, right? You know what Einstein said about the 100 scholars who opposed him? You know, he said, if I were wrong, one would be enough. You know, so 100 scholars opposing him did not exactly intimidate him. In today's study, we have, from now on, when we read such dates, and I have to say, from our yesterday's study, the table 3 of the Crucible of Credible Creed, part 1, King David as contemporary with Egypt and Assyria, we haven't changed the date of King David relative to King Ashur-rabi II, 1059 to 1018, is him and Asher Reshi II, 1018 to 1013. We can see that by jumping to part two of the article, Crucible, which we're studying. If I look up Reshi, what do I see? Is this part two? Or is this some other article? It's the Crucible, yeah. Yeah, we have this... Oh, it's not there. Wait a minute. I know what's here. This is the Crucible, though. There are the kings of Assyria in this part two. And this is not looking like... Here it is. Here they are. Okay. The search wasn't finding it. The text search, which it always does. So obviously I did something wrong in the search here. Asher Reshi. Asher Rabbi. Let's look up Rabbi. It finds it. Asher Rabbi II, 1059. There it is. And 1018, Asher Reshi. Oh, it's Resh Ishishi. Okay. Resh Ishishi the second, 1018 to 1013. So these dates have not changed whatsoever in our chronology. The other thing I want to point out today is our reading about King Hezekiah for today. When we look up Hezekiah in this part two of the Crucible, we see the amazing thing that, let's go back a couple. Here we go. In this paragraph, which is a very long paragraph, 11:6, chapter 11, paragraph 6 of the Crucible, which is part 2 of the Crucible. It's such a long paragraph, but somewhere in there, there's this part about this Passover in year 1 of Hezekiah, but I'm not sure we know it's year 1. But I say here that it's year 1. And it may anticipate the 723 to 722 Jubilee. And note also, I was reminded here that the attack of Samaria by the Assyrians in 722 was actually the Jubilee year, which meant that if the Israelites in the Northern Kingdom had been celebrating that Jubilee, of course, they wouldn't be able to harvest any crops in that year, so they wouldn't be having, or the, you know, even the previous year, which was the end of a seven-year Sabbath every 7 years, where they wouldn't get any crops either in that year, because they let the land lie fallow every 7 years under the Mosaic law. So the siege of Samaria commencing in 722 for 3 years is a perfect alignment with the time of the Jubilee, which this part too describes and explains in detail how the 1422 was arrived at for the first Jubilee. And then every 50 years. So 722 is another multiple of 50 years after 1422, since 100 years is also a multiple of 50. But we haven't changed Asher Reshi II relative to King David, and we haven't changed the other king, Asher Rabbi II, nor have we changed the kings of Egypt appreciably either. Susan, Amenemope, and Osorkon the Elder, and Pharaoh Simon, they're all very closely related to the time of King David. From now on, when we read such dates, we may automatically adjust them to purified ore within the genealogy. In other words, we read other people's dating of these kings, we adjust them. Humanly impossible, yet all things are possible with God. That's a scriptural reference. The excavation at Kerbet Kayafa continues progressively on this city having been built with 200,000 tons of stone. So the short story about my nutrition was I took calcium, my problem went away, and everything changes for the better, because I realize it's not just that I'm worried about my health and my brain is functioning normally. The proper use of calcium in the diet also makes the brain function properly. So it's not just that the arthritis went away, but my brain now works better. Not simply because I was worried about the arthritis and that caused my brain to malfunction, because I was worried. It wasn't just the worry. Something else, too. It does all these other things in the body, the calcium. It prevents the pain in the nerve. I'm not sure exactly why the pain was associated with the lack of calcium. I don't know exactly. But we know that that's called osteoarthritis. You see, where the calcium leaves the bones when you're deficient in calcium, right? And then it accumulates in the joints. That's where it ends up going, in a calcium deficient body. That's why arthritis results from it's called osteoarthritis, you know, osteoporosis, osteoarthritis caused by deficiency of calcium and deterioration of the bones. The excavation at Kirwa Kaiapa continues progressively, okay? And this city was the one we talked about regarding King David and it being near the place where he fought Goliath. And on this city, the work is continuing, it having been built with 200,000 tons of stone. Are there many more things to discover as to Bible truth? In the Quran, the Arabic form of the name translates Daoud, D-A-W-U-D or D-A-U-D. Well, in Hebrew, a wa, which is the letter wa, divides two daleths. Daleth is the Hebrew D and has the consonantal idea, quote unquote, which means the word idea has only one consonant, which is the letter D in English. So the Hebrew letter D signifies an idea. And wa, the Hebrew V or W, means, quote, and, unquote. So serving as a divider. So the name David is the word idea, followed by the word and, followed by the word idea. So two ideas separated by the word and. By this definition, love is typified as two cohered ideas. Fascinating, isn't it? Two different viewpoints, possibly, combined, is the word David. The perfect series of 17 Israelite kings from David onward is a genealogical sequence that elevates God's evidence. We saw that, right? It was proven true by the fact that the average generation was what we expect the average generation to be for firstborn sons. It proves the truth of the Bible by things we know even today to do with with the statistical calculations. I'm trying to think of the word that Mr. Crossway used for that, but the way that, you know, people who calculate annuities too use the same idea. They know how long we're going to live, so they pay a certain amount for an annuity based on your age and how long you're expected to live. Of 32 third great grandparents of this author, meaning myself, 22 are noted. In other words, at the time of this writing, I had discovered 22 of my 32 third great grandparents from my research on my own family history. And that's all for today's study of the crucible. Tomorrow, though, it's exciting. We're looking at the accurate carbon dating of Shishak, and our reading for the proverb for today, little children, is Proverbs 14, 33 and 34. His wisdom resides in the heart of the wise. The focus of fools will be known, they advise, and righteousness raises a nation on high. But people confronted with sin only sigh. Proverbs 14, 33 and 34 in the Ward Green version of 2006. Now, 2 Chronicles chapter 29, Hezekiah himself became king at the age of 25 years, and for 29 years he reigned in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he kept doing what was right in Jehovah's eyes, according to all that David, his forefather, had done. He himself, in the first year of his reigning, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of Jehovah and began to repair them. Then he brought the priests and the Levites. Here it is. It's the first year of his reigning. Here it is. So we do know it was the Passover of the first year of Hezekiah. There it is in verse 3, right there. The first year of his reigning. Excellent. Then he brought the priests and the Levites and gathered them to the open place to the east. And he proceeded to say to them, listen to me, you Levites. Now sanctify yourselves and sanctify the house of Yahweh, the God of your forefathers, and bring the impure thing out from the holy place. For our fathers have acted unfaithfully and have done what was bad in the eyes of Yahweh, our God, so that they left him and turned around their face away from the tabernacle of Yahweh and offered the back of the neck. They also closed the doors of the porch and kept the lamps extinguished, and incense they did not burn. and burnt sacrifice they did not offer up in the holy place to the God of Israel. And Jehovah's indignation came to be against Judah and Jerusalem, so that he constituted them an object at which to quake, an object of astonishment and a cause for whistling, just as you are seeing with your own eyes. Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah, had been a very bad king, very wicked. And here our forefathers fell by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives were in captivity for this. Right, we saw that the northern kingdom had taken captives in the time of Ahaz. Now, it is close to my heart, Hezekiah went on, he was the son of Ahaz, to conclude a covenant with Jehovah, the God of Israel, that his burning anger may turn back from us. Now, my sons, do not give yourselves up to rest, for you are the ones whom Jehovah has chosen to stand before him, or Yahweh, as we call him also, to minister to him, to minister to the true God, Yahweh, and to continue as his ministers and makers of sacrificial smoke. At that the Levites rose up, Mahath the son of Amasai, and Joel the son of Azariah, of the sons of the Kohathites, and from the sons of Merari, Kish the son of Abdi, and Azariah the son of Jehalelel, and from the Gershonites, Joah the son of Zimmah, and Eden the son of Joah, and from the sons of Elizaphan, Shimri and Jeuel, and from the sons of Asaph, Zechariah and Mattaniah, and from the sons of Heman, Jehiel and Shimei, and from the sons of Jeduthun, Shemaiah and Uzziel. Then they gathered their brothers together and sanctified themselves and came according to the king's commandment in the words of Yahweh to cleanse the house of Jehovah. The priests now came inside the house of Jehovah to do the cleansing and brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of Yahweh to the courtyard of the house of Yahweh. In turn, the Levites received it to take it out to the torrent valley of Kidron outside. Thus, they got started on the first day of the first month at sanctifying, and on the eighth day of the month they came to the porch of Jehovah, so that they sanctified the house of Jehovah in 8 days, and on the 16th day of the first month they finished. So I'll be looking back to see how many months it was that I was, after I overdosed on calcium, that it took me to purify my body so much that I could no longer drink simply distilled water, but I have to add calcium to my diet, as of yesterday. And I'll see how long it took my body to cleanse itself after all the vitamin D and all the calcium I'd been overdosing on for some months, right? It was, I can't remember now. I know when it was. It was the fall. It was the fall of one of the years, because we were coming up. The next appointment I had was for a month later, was October, but I didn't go to that appointment because I figured out the answer at that point. I had an appointment with an acupuncturist in Aylmer. So that was September when I had this final, the climate, the maximum poisoning, the point of maximum calcium poisoning from the water, because I've been taking too much vitamin D. And when you take too much vitamin D, but I was taking way more vitamin D, like a million units per day almost, because I was taking extra K2 in the liquid form, which has the D in it. That's how I came to accidentally overdose on D. But the D is not the problem, it's the calcium that's the problem, actually, is what I discovered. So there's still much more to learn about how much D and how much calcium to take, but calcium was the first thing I ever discovered in my health care. It was the calcium supplementation using coral calcium. That was the first thing I ever discovered for myself as a great benefit, along with vitamin D and magnesium. And then I discovered vitamin K2. And the person who told me originally, her name was something like Kiki or Dee Dee or some name like that. She worked in a health food store. She told me about vitamin K2. The first person, which was her, who told me, she also told me to take the K2 with calcium. That's what she told me. And I remembered that yesterday, and that's why I kept thinking, well, I probably have to take calcium. But I hesitated for a little while before I tried it, and it works, it works, it works, it works, okay? So thus they got started on the first day of the month, and on the eighth day of the month they came to the porch of Jehovah, so that they sanctified the house of Jehovah in 8 days. And on the 16th day of the first month they finished. It sounds like they went on sanctifying after the eighth day until the 16th. They just came to the porch of Jehovah on the 8th of the month of the first month of the year of the first year of Hezekiah, first month being Nisan for the Jews in their sacred calendar. After that, they came inside to Hezekiah the king and said, "We have cleansed the whole house of Jehovah, the altar of burnt offering and all its utensils, and the table of the layer bread and all its utensils, and all the utensils that King Ahaz removed from employment during his reign in his unfaithfulness. We have prepared and have sanctified them, and there they are before the altar of Jehovah." And Hezekiah the king proceeded to get up early. He was the son of Ahaz, and gather the princes of the city together and go up to the house of Yahweh. And they came bringing 7 bulls and 7 rams and 7 male lambs and 7 male goats as a sin offering for the kingdom and for the sanctuary and for Judah. So he said to the sons of Aaron, the priests, to offer them up upon the altar of Yahweh. Accordingly, they slaughtered the cattle, and the priests received the blood and sprinkled it upon the altar. After which they slaughtered the rams and sprinkled the blood upon the altar, and they slaughtered the male lambs and sprinkled the blood upon the altar. Then they brought the male goats of the sin offering near before the king and the congregation and laid their hands upon them. The priests now slaughtered them and made a sin offering with their blood upon the altar to make atonement for all Israel, because it was for all Israel that the king said the burnt offering and the sin offering should be. Meantime, he had the Levites stationed at the house of Jehovah with cymbals, with stringed instruments, and with harps, by the commandment of David and of Gad, the king's visionary, and of Nathan the prophet, who, by the way, is of no relation to King David as far as we know, but the Insight book says he may have been a son of Levi. For it was by the hand of Jehovah that the commandment was by means of his prophets. There we go. Look at that. The commandment that had come previously through the mouth of David and of Gad, the visionary, and Nathan, the prophet, but it was from Jehovah. So the Levites kept standing with the instruments of David, and also the priests with the trumpets. Then Hezekiah said to offer up the burnt sacrifice on the altar, and at that time the burnt offering started. At that time that the burnt offering started, the song of Jehovah started, and also the trumpets, even under the direction of the instruments of David, the king of Israel. He had been the one who started the music at the temple and the instruments, and all the congregation were bowing down while the song was resounding and the trumpets were blaring. All this until the burnt offering was finished, and as soon as they finished offering it up, the king and all those found with him bowed low and prostrated themselves. Hezekiah the king and the princes now said to the Levites, I just had an image of, you know, where is so-and-so? Well, we found him. He's with King David. You know. But King Hezekiah the king and the princes now said to the Levites to praise Jehovah in the words of David and of Asaph the visionary. That brings to mind the Psalms of David and the Psalms of Asaph, who wrote Psalms that are in our lexicon of the book of Psalms. So they began to offer praise even with rejoicing, and they kept bending down and prostrating themselves. Finally, Hezekiah answered and said, Now you have filled your hand with power for Jehovah. Approach and bring sacrifices and thanksgiving sacrifices to the house of Yahweh. And the congregation began to bring sacrifices and thanksgiving sacrifices, and also everyone willing of heart burnt offerings. And the number of the burnt offerings that the congregation brought came to be 70 cattle, 100 rams, 200 male lambs. All these as a burnt offering to Yahweh. And also the holy offering, 600 cattle and 3,000 of the flock. Only the priests themselves happened to be too few, and they were not able to skin all the burnt offerings. So their brothers, the Levites, helped them out until the work was finished, and until the priests could sanctify themselves. For the Levites were more upright of heart for sanctifying themselves than the priests. And two, the burnt offerings were in great quantity with the fat pieces of the communion sacrifices and with the drink offerings for the burnt offerings. Thus, the service of the house of Jehovah was prepared. Consequently, Hezekiah and all the people rejoiced over the fact that the true God had made preparation for the people, because it was all of a sudden that the thing had occurred. And this was the first year of Hezekiah. That was pretty sudden. Was it not? 2 Chronicles 29, we have now concluded. And now, chapter 2 of Zephaniah, Clark comments, the prophet, having declared the judgments which were ready to fall on his people, earnestly exhorts them to repentance that these judgments may be averted. in the first three verses. He then foretells the fate of other neighboring and hostile nations of Philistines in verses 4 through 7, the Moabites, the Ammonites, verses 8 through 11, the Ethiopians, verse 12, and Assyrians, verse 13. In the close of the chapter, we have a prophecy against Nineveh. These predictions were accomplished chiefly by the conquests of Nebuchadnezzar, he says. Zephaniah chapter 2, little children, gather yourselves together. Yes, do the gathering. O nation, not panting, or paling. Yes, paling. Gather yourselves together. Do the gathering, O nation, not paling in shame. I had a thought earlier today about that some things do pale in comparison to others. One of them is the knowledge of nutrition when it doesn't include calcium. It pales in comparison. But anyway, before the statute gives birth to anything, before the day has passed by like the chaff, before there comes upon you people the burning anger of Jehovah, before there comes upon you the day of Jehovah's anger. Seek Jehovah, all you meek ones of the earth, who have practiced his own judicial decision. Seek righteousness. Seek meekness. Probably you may be concealed in the day of Jehovah's anger. Aren't those beautiful words? For as regards Gaza, an abandoned city is what she will become, and Ashkelon is to be a desolate waste. As regards Ashdod, at high noon they will drive her out. And as regards Ekron, she will be uprooted. Now that's verse 4. Ekron sounds like the Philistines, because they were very prominent in Ekron. Right, that's right. The Philistines, verses 4 through 7, he mentions. That's right. So these are the Philistines. Gaza, they occupied Gaza, and just like the Palestinians occupy Gaza today. The Philistines, which is the same nation. Palestinian, Philistine, and Palestine. It's the same essential word, same name. And Ashkelon is to be a desolate waste. The Philistines occupied these cities, Ashdod as well, and Ekron. Woe to those inhabiting the region of the sea, the nation of the Kerethites. And we know the Philistines did occupy the region of the sea. The word of Jehovah is against you people, O Canaan, the land of the Philistines. I will also destroy you so that there will be no inhabitant. That's the end of verse 5. Verse 6, and it goes on through verse 7. And the region of the sea must become pasture grounds with wells for shepherds and stone pens for sheep. And it must become a region for the remaining ones of the house of Judah. Upon them they will feed. In the houses of Ashkelon in the evening they will lie stretched out. For Yahweh, their God, will turn his attention to them and certainly gather back the captive ones of them. Now at the time of Zephaniah, when did we say Zephaniah prophesied again? Do we know when he prophesied? I think it was said to be the 16th. Let's see. Right. About the beginning of the reign of Josiah, about BCE 640, he says, which we call 639 BCE. That's when this prophecy came about. So it was long after the destruction of the capture of Samaria, I should say. Long after that, capture of Samaria in 719 BCE by the Assyrians. So he would gather back the captive ones. Well, of course, also there were captives taken by Tiglath-Pileser from Judah. Or was that, wait a minute, no, that was from Samaria. That was from Samaria. But there were captives taken from Judah by Israel in the previous chapter, in the chapter that we just finished reading yesterday in 2 Chronicles 28, which was king during the time of Ahaz, the king of Judah. Yeah, so, but it's not clear which captive ones are being referred to in this verse 7 here, but I have heard verse 8, he says, the reproach by Moab and the abusive words of the sons of Ammon. So now we're going on to continue the discussion of Jehovah's judgments, this time against the Moabites and Ammonites, verses 8 through 11, I have heard the reproach by Moab and the abusive words of the sons of Ammon with which they have reproached my people and kept putting on great airs against their territory. Therefore, as I am alive, is the utterance of Jehovah of armies, the God of Israel, Moab herself will become just like Sodom. We know Sodom was overthrown, right? Fire and sulfur. And the sons of Ammon like Gomorrah. And the same fate came upon Gomorrah, a place possessed by nettles and a salt pit, the salt, right? Fire and sulfur, and a desolate waste, even to time indefinite. The remaining ones of my people will plunder them, and the remnant of my own nation will take possession of them. Talking about the sons of Ammon. This is what they will have instead of their pride, because they reproached and kept putting on great airs against the people of Yahweh of armies. Jehovah will be fear-inspiring against them, for he will certainly emaciate all the gods of the earth, and people will bow down to him, each one from his place, all the islands of the nations. Verse 12, now also you, you Ethiopians, you yourselves will be people slain by my sword. That's the verse against the Ethiopians. And then the Assyrians, verse 13, and he will stretch out his hand toward the north, and he will destroy Assyria, and he will make Nineveh a desolate waste, a waterless region like the wilderness, and in the midst of her droves will certainly lie stretched out all the wild animals of a nation. Both pelican and porcupine will spend the night right among her pillar capitals. It's a very poetic expression that prophets have used in the Bible. On occasion is the idea of pelicans or porcupines or both spending the night in these uninhabited areas because they're so desolate, because they've been laid desolate by the power of the true God and his bringing of justice upon them through some, very often through the means of some other military nation. And a voice will keep singing in the window. There will be devastation at the threshold. It's not threshold, it's threshold. For he will certainly lay bare the very wainscoting. This is the exultant city that was sitting in security, that was saying in her heart, I am and there's nobody else. Oh, how she has become an object of astonishment, a place for the wild animals to lie stretched out. Everyone passing along by her will whistle, he will wag his hand. That's talking about the Assyrians, right? Or against Nineveh in particular. The city of Nineveh, which was the stronghold of Assyria, which we know eventually did come to its end, particularly around the time, very similarly, very close to the time of 608 BCE, something which is noteworthy because the Babylonians were becoming powerful at that time, and they eventually overthrew Assyria, and there was a prophecy that the people of Judah would serve the nations for 70 years in the Septuagint version of Jeremiah 25. And the 70 years of service ended in 538 with the official year one of King Cyrus after his conquest of Babylon. In 539, which was 70 years after the death of Josiah in 609 BCE, when he was slain by the Pharaoh Necho of Egypt. So the 70 years of prophecy is also involved in that, and that's also the beginning of the times of the Gentiles, 608 BCE, 70 years before 538, which 608 being the time when the Assyrians were conquered. It's interesting, isn't it? At least according to, you know, we don't really have when did Nineveh fall. People don't really know the exact year that Nineveh fell, but that's it. We're just about 1 minute over our time. It's April 7th, 2024 of the Common Era. April 7th. The time is going by so fast it's hard to even sometimes keep track of what year it is. But 12:51 hours Eastern Daylight Time is the time. I've enjoyed this. I'm Ward Green. I love you very much on my behalf. This is Liv Dusty and this is Cassie saying bye for now.